Good morning. The watchword for this week comes from Matthew 16, verse 24. Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me." Let's reflect on these words as we listen to this morning's prelude. If you're able, I invite you to stand for the call to worship. The God of our ancestors calls us to worship. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Let us worship God.
Let us hear the words of the Holy Spirit. God, we strive to love and serve your people this day. Amen. Let us remain standing for verses 1 and 3 of the opening hymn, number 665, "Bless All Those Who Nurture Children." Friends, welcome to worship this morning at Christ Moravian Church, and we're glad that you're joining us for this final Sunday in August. Together we gather to seek the presence of Jesus Christ and respond to the work he has set before us as a community of faith. Before we continue with the service, I have some announcements to share with you. Located in your bulletin today is an insert with information on an upcoming fundraiser for the Forsyth Jail and Prison Ministry. I invite you to take a look at that information, prayerfully consider supporting them in whatever way that you are willing and able to do. This coming Wednesday, September the 2nd, the Mission and Outreach Committee will meet at 5:30 p.m. in the office building. Next Sunday, we will be excited to welcome Brother Michael Tesh to the pulpit to speak on how the Moravian ministry is going in Kenya. Then a week from Monday, September 7th, the church office and also the Southern Province offices will be closed for Labor Day. Regular business will resume the next day, Tuesday, September 8th. And also on Tuesday, September 8th, the Marvelous Moravians will be eating lunch at the Cracker Barrel in Clemens. So if you're interested in attending and you haven't signed up already, please sign up on the bulletin board sheet in the hallway. If you'd like to carpool with us to lunch, please meet in the church parking lot by 11 a.m. Also on that week, on Wednesday the 9th, we have a bit of a change in our committee and board meeting schedule. The leadership board will meet Wednesday the 9th at 6 p.m. in the office building. For some years now, the leadership board has met Sunday afternoons after morning worship, but at last board meeting, the board voted to move meetings from Sundays to Wednesday evening. So from now on, our monthly meetings will be on the second Wednesday of the month, and that begins Wednesday, September 9th at 6 o'clock p.m. And friends, to conclude that busy week in the life of our church, the end of summer blast event will take place on Saturday, September 12th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the church parking lot and fellowship building. There'll be games, activities, snacks, crafts, and much, much more. If you're able to join us and bring your loved ones, bring your kiddos for a morning of fun and fellowship. And also, if you'd like to volunteer to help out that day, please let Sabrina know. Friends, I do have a couple of announcements from the Southern Province to share with you. I'm excited to announce that on the afternoon of Sunday, September 13th, Brother David Jackson will be ordained as a deacon in the Southern Province of the Moravian Church. The ordination service will be at Macedonia Moravian Church, where David has been serving for some time as a student pastor. Beginning at 3 o'clock p.m., the service will start. Prior to his call to ministry, David also spent many years as a firefighter right here in Winston-Salem. So we invite your prayers for David, for his loved ones, and for the Macedonia congregation during this special occasion. And friends, I announced today, too, that Reverend Jenny Tobiasen has retired from active ministry in the Moravian Church. Jenny began her service as the associate pastor at Home Moravian in 2013, and then as pastor from 2017 until a short time ago. And now she has concluded her active service in the province. So we celebrate Jenny's retirement with her. We ask that you pray for her, for her loved ones, and for the congregation of Home Moravian during this time of transition for them. Friends, will you now join me in prayer? Gracious God, we welcome your presence among us now. God, we give you thanks for the celebrations that we share with our brothers and sisters and loved ones in the Southern Province. We give you thanks for calling Brother David Jackson to Macedonia. We give you thanks for calling Jenny to her many, many years of service at Home Moravian. And we ask that your Spirit guide her, comfort her, and lead her down this path to transition into the next part of her life and her journey with you and her loved ones. But gracious God, we also want to lift up our brothers and sisters and loved ones halfway around the world in the area of Nepal, which is undergoing severe flooding and natural disaster at the moment. Gracious God, remind us that although our struggles and our concerns are meaningful, you do ask us to lay them at your feet. And you do guide us through them and are present with us as we experience them. There are others of our family in Christ around the world who are struggling for survival. So gracious God, we pray for all those that have been affected by the disaster in Nepal, and we especially pray for all those at the Board of World Mission and the Moravian Disaster Response Team that are currently amassing funds and resources and volunteer help to do what they can. We lift these things up to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, friends, in both the northern and the southern provinces of the Moravian Church, today is a special prayer day. It's a prayer day for public education. It's kind of fitting, as school is starting or has been going on for a short while in many of our surrounding areas, including right here in Forsyth County. So, friends, to help us recognize this special prayer day for public education, our responsive reading will be Education, beginning on page 127 in the Book of Worship. Now, today we'll only be singing the first hymn in the reading. So we'll sing the first song, and then all other songs will be skipped today. If you're able, I invite you to stand. Let's pray that liturgy to the Lord together. We praise you, Lord. We give thanks to you with our whole heart. The works of your hands are faithful and just. Our reverence for you is the beginning of wisdom. All-knowing Creator, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, we praise you for the wisdom, power, and love displayed in the natural universe and in humanity, whom you have placed within it to care for it and nurture it. Light of the world, we praise you for being the eternal truth. Revealer of the deep things of God, we praise you for your gifts of awe and wonder, which lead us on the path of true wisdom.
All glory to you, Holy Spirit.
Let us pray. God of vision and wisdom, we confess our short-sightedness and folly in our search for knowledge and understanding. For our pride in pursuing and using knowledge in ways that make us think we are superior to others, we ask your forgiveness. For our failure to ask hard questions and our willingness to be satisfied with easy answers, for our ignorance of history and tradition, and for our stubborn resistance to new insights of both heart and mind, we ask your forgiveness. Although your guidance is always available, we have relied upon our own will. Gracious God, you forgive us through Jesus Christ. In humble acknowledgement of your love revealed in him, we give you thanks and pray the prayer he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Divine teacher, to you we commend all who learn. Infants tasting and touching, children exploring and play, youth testing and challenging, and adults continuing the quest. In the disciplined mastery of subject and skill, and the reflection on life experience, in the practical wisdom of long years. At every age and in every circumstance of life. Give patience and understanding to those who teach. Give perseverance and openness of heart and mind to those who learn. Spirit of truth, to you we commend all the educational ministries of the church. Guide us in the search of the scriptures, in the study of creation, and in the pursuit of truth. Give to parents your wisdom and thoughts, that with love and understanding they may guide to Christian maturity the young lives entrusted to their care. May congregations nurture faith in children, youth, and adults. Bless all those responsible for education in our community and country, teachers and administrators, custodians and clerks, students and families, for their gifts and their service. For all the diversity of human study and knowledge, for science and art, for literature and drama, for labor and play, for all the teaching experiences of life. You may remain seated. To the God of lasting wisdom, to the God of relentless change, to God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power. Amen. Friends, our first scripture lesson today will come from Psalm 105. We'll be reading together verses 1 through 5. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on the Lord's name. Make known the Lord's deeds among the Lord's peoples. Sing to the Lord. Sing praises to the Lord. Tell of all the Lord's wonderful works. Glory in the Lord's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Seek the Lord and the Lord's strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually. Remember the wonderful works the Lord has done, the Lord's miracles, and the judgments the Lord has uttered. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, let us go again to God in prayer. Gracious God, today we lift up all those who have been called to teach and educate others. We're grateful for you revealing examples of this vocation to us in the liturgy we just prayed to you. Teachers, administrators, clerks, custodians, coaches, pastors, bishops, Sunday school teachers, acolytes, and many, many more that I'm no doubt forgetting right now. Gracious God, we lift them up to you. We pray that your wisdom and your presence descend upon them. We pray for their patience and their strength and their peace. and given one of the most sacred tasks that anyone can have, teaching, nurturing, and forming our young ones. We lift them up to you today in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Will the ushers please come forward?
Mr. Matt even raised his hand. You know what that means? Even adults go to school. It's not just kids. Okay, so when you're at school, who leads the classroom? Okay, y'all are not this quiet in Sunday school this morning. Who leads your classroom? Is it your teachers?
My teacher is Amber.
Your teacher's Amber? Very good. Okay. You like Miss Amber?
Yeah. She's at high school.
Okay.
I'm not 14. 14 is going to my school.
Okay. Do you all like your teachers?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you have teachers through the week, Monday through Friday. Do you have any other teachers? You don't. What do we do on Sunday mornings? come to church. Yeah, that's right, Miss Sabrina. We have Sunday school downstairs, don't we? We talk about all kinds of things, don't we? What kind of things do we learn about? Okay, we know you're not. No, that's right, Noah's Ark. We've been learning about the Old Testament, haven't we? Do you know that there are some adults in here that teach Sunday school to the adult class? We have Miss Ann and Mr. Doug. And let's see, Miss Elizabeth. So see, adults and kids are always learning. And I'm going to tell you something. You guys teach me something every Sunday, believe me. So we need to be very thankful for our teachers and our educators and our ministers and acolytes, because they teach us too, don't they? Okay. All right, let's say a little prayer. Dear God, thank you for our teachers and our ministers and acolytes and all those who teach us. Amen. Okay, so let's go down for Bobby Clay.
I wish I could have the microphone. Can one day I could go there and talk to the microphone?
Friends, our second scripture lesson today will come from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verses 21 through 28. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed on the third day and be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a hindrance to me, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Now, friends, our second hymn will be number 661, "You Are the Way." You may remain seated.
Thank you.
Friends, our sermon lesson for today will come from the book of Romans. We'll be in chapter 12, reading verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink, for by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. May God bless the reading and hearing of God's holy word this day. Friends, there are many ways in which we as human beings can express our love for someone or something. And one of the most common ways that we do so is through song and music. Now, there are countless examples of love songs that I could reference today to help make this point, but when preparing for this message, two songs came to mind. One of which was sung by the peerless jazz singer Nat King Cole, titled L-O-V-E, the word love spelled out. Now, I'll always remember this song because it was in a movie I watched a lot as a kid. I confess I'm not the biggest listener of jazz or of classical music, but when I was younger, I had the VHS tape of the Disney remake of The Parent Trap that came out in the 1990s, and I wore that thing out. I watched it a lot. So every time I watched it, right at the beginning of the movie, I heard Nat King Cole's rich and melodious voice sing about love. Now, the other song that came to mind is also connected to the 1990s. It was released by a Christian hip-hop and rock band called DC Talk in the early 90s, called Love is a Verb. Two very different songs from very different musicians, different eras, but two songs connected by the same subject matter. Specifically, both of those songs don't just talk about love, but they talk about love as an action. Love as a decision we make. Love as things that we do. Nat King Cole sings, "L is for the way you look at me. O is for the only one I see. Love is all that I can give to you." DC Talk raps and sings, "Words come easy but don't mean much when the words that we're saying we can't put trust in. Hey, tell me, haven't you heard? The word is love. Love is a verb." And there are different ways and different styles both of those songs understand and communicate that love is more than just a feeling we get. It's more than the warm and fuzzies. It's more than feeling lighter than air and having our heart feel heavy and strange. I could give another example. One of the hymns that Brother Doug picked in opening exercise this morning was "Somebody Did a Golden Deed." That song, L-O-V-E, love is a verb, get across. Love is how we treat other people. Friends, the Apostle Paul also understood that love is an action. He spends a lot of time talking about that in today's scripture. But before he gets there, he first talks about love and God. See, to Paul, love is an eternal quality of God. Love comes from God, and God is love. The two cannot be separated. So how then are we, human beings, able to love if love comes from God? Because, friends, and Scripture helps teach us this many times over, love is a gift given from God to us, freely given and freely received. The Apostle Paul would say that love is the greatest gift that God gave to us. God gives us love out of love, because we are God's creation. We were made out of love. And God loves us so much that when God sent Jesus to the world rejected him, executed him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead and made something beautiful out of it. All out of love. So the love we show to others is born out of the love God has shown to us. We can recognize that that love is good because God's good. We can recognize that things that are not of God as evil and without love. And Paul says as much in verse 9 of today's scripture when he writes, "Hate what is evil and hold fast to what is good." Now, Paul also writes, "Let love be genuine." What does that mean exactly for us, friends? How can we genuinely show love? How can we not genuinely show love? And I think we've talked about that a little bit already. Genuine love is love shown as an action rather than just by words. If we say that we have love but do not back it up with how we act, then that love is not genuine. A sentiment that Paul echoes elsewhere in Scripture, in 1 Corinthians, as well as in today's passage in Romans. Right? Love is not just a feeling or expression, but a tangible and practical way to care for one another. We also talked earlier about how love is good. However, often we can fall into the trap of just thinking that means it's good for us when it comes to love. But in verse 10, Paul mentions that love should be done with mutual affection. Love isn't genuine if you show love in ways that are not reciprocated, not welcome, not selfless. Genuine love is not just about the goodness of the self, not just about making us feel good, but it's for the good of other people and the community at the same time. But friends, an important thing for Paul is not just to practice genuine love, but to practice genuine love to everybody around you, even if they're different. Paul didn't just intend for genuine love to be practiced just within the church communities that he's writing to. It didn't just extend to those in their inner circle. It was everyone where they lived and were called to serve, right? Not just the early church communities, but all their neighbors. Even the ones who worshiped the pagan Roman gods. Even the ones who might otherwise have mistreated them or who were very different from them. Paul calls his readers to show genuine love to them too, no matter what they did or believed. And the same is true for us here at Christ Moravian Church. Being set apart as Christians does not mean that we're disconnected from our neighbors, does not mean that we're inconsiderate to what our neighbors might need. We don't just serve ourselves, we serve the area around us, right? We serve West Salem neighborhood, we serve Winston-Salem, we serve wherever in the church or beyond that God is calling us to serve, regardless of what they're like or what they believe. Like Paul says, we rejoice with them. We're patient with them. We endure hardships with them. We take care of them and they us. We mourn with them. We're humble with them and we strive to live peaceably with them. You know what that sounds like to me, friends? All those things put together? It sounds like life. We're all in this life thing together, regardless of our differences. And to Paul, being in life together is an opportune time to show genuine love, the genuine love of God. So to the Apostle Paul, genuine love is a gift from God. It's expressed by us in acts of service and care. To Paul, the life of a Christian is one of willingness to serve and love in the manner of Jesus. This was the foundation of the early church. We can read about this elsewhere in Paul's letters and also in the book of Acts. The community members of the church cared for each other. They shared things with each other. They helped each other with money. They worked for each other and the good of the community. Now, these are not easy things to do in and of themselves, but they're especially not easy considering Paul and his believers are living in the Roman Empire, which made it difficult to live as Jesus had taught them to live. And friends, it's no less different in today's world, too, that values money, power, fame, and other things over care and compassion. So when it gets difficult to love others with their actions, when it gets difficult to show hospitality to strangers, to contribute to the needs of others, think of it less as a command or a requirement, but more as an encouragement to continue to serve and love where you are, as you are able, the best that you can. And friends, if what we've heard so far wasn't difficult enough, starting with verse 14, Paul begins to talk about how to love our enemies in addition to loving our friends and neighbors. And if that concept sounds familiar to you, loving your enemies, it's because it came from Jesus, specifically the Sermon on the Mount and the Gospel of Matthew. And Paul echoes those words in verse 14 of today's scripture. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. This is a radical statement. It's one that's not easy for us to understand or do. Like, our instinct is to react strongly. Why would I be nice to my enemies? Why would I bless them? It doesn't make sense. And think about what Paul and the communities he's writing to had to endure in Rome. Harm and danger would have been everywhere. Their enemies would have been numerous. There would have been all kinds of people who wanted to harm them, persecute them, treat them poorly. Roman society, after all, valued privilege and power and conforming to society, being like everyone else, all under the emperor. Those who were different were treated differently. And friends, there are some parallels in the world we live in today, which values money and status and strength and selfishness. And if you don't have those things or you don't seek those things, then you may be treated differently. The way of Jesus runs counter to that. No matter what era you live in, no matter what year you are in or what part of history you're in. And so in response, our own actions must run counter to what the world expects from us. And that's what I think Paul is trying to get at. The world may expect us to selfishly, for example, pursue revenge and repay an evil act with another evil act. The world may expect us to be harsh and destroy our enemies and those that are opposed to us. But Paul encourages us not to be consumed by hate or anger, but to leave room for God and to leave room for the community that loves and supports us whenever we're going through difficult times or whenever we have enemies or opponents. Paul encourages us not to pursue revenge, but instead to feed and care for our enemies. Beautiful example of the radical nature of what he and Jesus are getting at. Hate and anger and revenge and selfishness and all of these things that do not have the genuine love of God in them are not the way. But kindness, humility, and compassion are the way of the genuine love of God through Jesus Christ. So friends, throughout all these instructions and encouragements, Paul never loses sight of accountability. That's an important aspect of the genuine love in today's scripture. The way we show genuine love to those around us is how we are accountable to the God that we serve. In verse 18, Paul writes, "If it's possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Unlike the other examples of genuine love that he gives in this part of the letter, Paul doesn't frame this as a direct action, right? All the other things he says in this scripture are short, direct actions, right? Bless those who persecute you. Feed your enemies and care for them. Pray with those who need prayer. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Be patient in suffering, and so many more, right? Short, direct, and to the point. But in this case, it's not so direct. There's qualifications here. Not just live peaceably with all, but if it's possible, live peaceably with all. So far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Paul understands that living peaceably with other humans is nearly impossible most of the time, given how different we all are and how we can treat each other based on our differences, given just how complex of creatures that we are with all our feelings and everything that we have going on and our sense of self and how ourselves relate to other people and so on and so forth. Like, human relationships are messy and complicated. Paul understood that. Paul understands that given how messy that we can be as people, it can be really hard to live peaceably with each other, even if we try our best to. And so again, in the spirit of not a command or instruction, but an encouragement, Paul empowers his readers to do everything they can, while being aware of their limitations and their current situation. Because friends, in life, as I'm sure we're aware of and maybe experiencing at the moment, sometimes things happen outside our control. Sometimes the situation's bigger than us, and sometimes, despite no matter how hard we try, we can't change what's happening, or maybe we can't make as much of a difference as we would like. Paul, who lived in the complicated, dangerous world of the ancient Roman Empire, understood this. And so he doesn't command or instruct his people, live peaceably no matter what. He encourages them, do what you can. Don't do what you can't. And try to recognize the difference. Now, friends, at the end of the day, we are called as Christians to meet the evil of this world with goodness. Jesus did that when he met the injustice of the world by practicing genuine love wherever he went. The Apostle Paul did that. He repented of his past as a persecutor, torturer, and executioner of believers. He became one himself. He dedicated his life to the gospel. Today's scripture, Paul encourages his people to practice that same genuine love. Love that reflects the goodness of God wherever they are, in whatever way they can. Friends, we're called to do the same right here where we are. To echo Paul's words, as much as it is in our power, as much as it depends on us, let us love those around us with our actions and with our example to the best of our ability. Friends, we end today by giving thanks to God for revealing this goodness to us and giving us the indescribable gift of genuine love. Amen. Our closing hymn today will be number 672, They Who Jesus Followers Are. If you're able, please stand and we'll sing it together.
Thank you.
Friends, thank you again for joining us in worship today at Christ Moravian Church as we'll transition to the month of September next Sunday. If you're able to be here, we're so grateful to welcome Brother Michael into our pulpit next week. And friends, let's keep praying for and enjoying this cooler weather that we've been having as we go into fall. Friends, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you, be gracious unto you. May God lift up God's countenance before you and bring you peace. In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. Go in peace today.